You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So with how much people seem to like this show, you might say it's cast a spell on all of them, right?
That was low-hanging fruit.
Welcome to the Spreader Squad. have you seen the movies we've watched? That's actually, like, classy compared to some jokes I've heard on some movies.
The only time in this podcast we will be called classy. Thank you and good night.
I'm a classy bitch right here.
Wasn't it Rage Select when they used to call themselves the classiest podcast on the internet kind of thing? Or
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We definitely are not them. But anyway, hey everybody, we're talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. This is the third part, technically. Now, this is what I don't like about the way they classify these seasons, because it says number of seasons on Wikipedia being three, but it's technically three parts that have been released over, what, since end of 2018?
Yeah. And then plus a Christmas special as well, or a holiday special.
Yeah, so...
Justin, stop being such a goddamn millennial. The kids these days, they don't do seasons anymore. It's parts. Get with the times.
Woof.
Yeah.
So we'll be like season 2, part 5. No, I'm kidding.
Well, from what I understand, I mean, I have to assume that because this is technically run by the Riverdale team, specifically Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who does all the stuff with Riverdale and all the Archie comics, this is supposed to be something that was on network, but then it got... licensed out to Netflix and that stuff, and so it's technically a network season, but they divide up into sections kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, and if we'd like to get even more technical, they're called chapters.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, The Good Place has chapters as well, and that one actually follows seasons, so just saying.
Yeah, that's
network. Yeah, so
that's
on the actual Netflix platform, they list them as chapters, and I thought that was a hail back to the fact that this was a graphic novel, so the chapters in a book. Yeah. But...
Well, so
what do I know?
I'm curious, too. Like, so it is based on, I think there's only one volume of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, right? For the comics?
Yeah, so, yeah. They he stopped writing it because he was too busy doing the TV series. They couldn't write it anymore.
Okay, so from your knowledge, based on the previous seasons, has this already passed the comic by that point? Or
it's the comic book is so different from the TV series, it's not even funny. So it's
very different.
It's two different things. If you read the comic book, it's very, very different. Like, the ants are kind of evil, and I mean, it's really more complex. It's very, very different.
Yeah, Hilda's as evil as Zelda.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Which is sad, because my only knowledge of Sabrina is from the old TV show with Melissa Joan Hart, so
very different.
You mean it's the show from 30 years ago?
Yes, my sister watched it literally on repeat over and over again, so.
Yeah, with was Melissa really something, years ago? Last name.
I'm sorry, I wasn't born yet. I didn't know.
I feel so old. Isn't it past your bedtime? Go to bed.
You only feel old because you are old.
I have to go to Luby's now. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, let's not get into that route. So, you know, why don't we talk about this third season? Now, this one was only 8 episodes compared to the prior seasons, which I think were about 9 to 11 based on the fact they had the Christmas special as well.
Yeah.
So, who wants to give me a gist of where we are right now based on this third part here?
Well, I'm just a mere warlock. I'll leave this, as the show has taught me, I'll leave the work to the witches.
Well, you know what? Why don't we have the most powerful witch here, Jennifer, tell us about it.
Oh.
Take that, Paloma.
You all heard it. They gave me the authority. I run this show now. Give me the big bone gold crown. Okay,
Justin,
so...
take your clothes off.
So first two seasons in a blur, teenage girl, knows she comes from a magical family, is supposed to be coming into her power, battles between wanting to be a teenage girl in a local school, making out with a cute boy, and her duty to her family, the impending pact with the devil, which will solidify her power and her position in the family and the coven. And so she's dealing with all of the teen angst that comes in that kind of drama. And then by the second season, she has decided to attend the magic school and kind of put some distance between her and the mortal realm, dates a cute boy, deals with the political dramas having inside the school, and then finds out that, you know, she's not actually human born to her parents. She's actually the heir of hell. as happens, you know, teenage years, they're real rough. So she discovers that she's the heir of Satan, has to battle with his political machinations of wanting to, you know, as he do, take over the world, apocalypse, death, destruction, yeah. maiming, general what have you of the situation, and ends up imprisoning him in the body of her boyfriend, which leads to not much date night and him getting sent to hell. And that's like a brief skim over the top of the surface.
So hell, Satan. This,
right? Which one? So in the third season, she's really hung up about her duty to her boyfriend who sacrificed himself to save mankind and her by, you know, taking Satan inside of him, becoming a human prison for him, and then him getting chucked into hell. So she's having nightmares about that and trying to find a way to bust him out of hell. But obviously that's not an easy situation. Also balancing both the human world, the world of what happens after you as a follower of Satan who is bound to him, overthrow him, lock him in hell. Where the hell is your power going to come from then? Literally, hell. And then also what it's like to be a cheerleader, because that's definitely an element we needed to have in this show.
And maybe it's just my imagination, but do cheerleaders sing that much? I mean, act like
no cheerleader that I know ever sang that much.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
and we're like thankful for it.
Cheerleaders to me.
this episode took a real dark turn, and not in a fun way. In the every other episode is going to have a musical number out of nowhere that in no way ties to the situation at all.
The music but, number.
Yeah. Hey, you know, everybody loves a good cheerleader. Skirt, so,
wait,
right?
Did it turn into season 3 of Mrs. Maisel?
Pretty no. much, but not in a fun way. Mrs. Maisel at least was enjoyable.
Yeah, I think there was one situation where the scene kind of made some degree of sense, but I think that's the reason I think that all the others sing, but for the most part, I was like, I don't really get it. Cheerleaders just don't sing like that. I've never seen a TV show or movie or in real life them doing that. So I was like, I don't know. Just for that one moment, I think they did it.
Interesting to me, because the first season felt like a really good departure from the subject matter we all know and are familiar with, right? The Melissa Joan Hart series, which is all bubbly and light and, oh, look, I'm a cute little witch thing that didn't really do much for anybody. So this was very different from that. It actually gave itself permission to be dark. It discussed topics that were outside of, you know, normal light and fluffy situations. And it went some places that were thought-provoking. And then in the second season, it kind of took a turn from, all right, this is something different and new. This is enjoyable. This is different. To like, we're going to jump the shark and go real dark and real weird. And orgies and weird crazy shit happening and people getting naked all the time.
Hey, the orgies were in the first season.
Were they in the first season?
Yes,
there was. That was towards the end of the first season then. It's been like a year and a half since I watched
the first season. Sabrina's boyfriend, his head is right in between the legs of her enemy.
Yeah, Nick.
That is the first season. All right, so it goes real dark. And then it's weird. And then in this season, it's like, okay, maybe we jumped the shark a bit. Maybe we went too far. Maybe we should come back to the light side a little bit. Because, hey, look, cheerleaders. Everybody likes cheerleaders, right? Everybody likes a song and dance number, right?
Yeah.
I think for me this season, I think my bigger problem was it felt like it was actually part 3 and part 4. Because, like, there was, like, a very distinct line down the middle of the season of what they were dealing with.
Right.
I feel that, too.
And I'm not sure about, I mean, I don't want to ruin anything, but I'm not sure about the ending, how I feel about the ending, and if it makes any kind of real sense to me.
No, whenever you introduce that element into anything, it does not make sense. I just learn to get over it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll still watch the fourth season. I'm just kind of curious to see what they're going to do with it, because I'm like, this is going to get really complicated really fast, or they're just going to erase it in the fourth, somehow get rid of that idea.
I feel like it's a Guy Ritchie, this is the obvious, we have to have another season. We left you hanging right here. We're gonna do another one, but they actually are gonna do another one.
So you mean like the King Arthur movie, where it's like, oh, just you wait until we see the other.
We don't speak of that. We do not speak of that movie in my presence.
I like it because it does set for me. It sets up the idea that the true villain of the show was Sabrina all along.
Right, and that makes sense. Yeah, I have to say, I do really like Theo's journey throughout this whole series, though. To talk about something more positive, I thought it was cool, like how he started off as, you know, Susie was unsure about her gender and her kind of way of, you know, who she is. And then becomes, in the second season, kind of dealing with all those issues of transitioning. And now Theo is like a very kind of, Theo's Theo, and he's very kind of secure in that. And now he's discovering, like, love and that kind of stuff.
So Theo had some of my favorite moments in the whole season.
Theo found a boy he liked. It was very sweet.
Real cute boy, too. Props to Theo. Yeah, they make an adorable little power couple.
I didn't like the guy, but I liked that she liked him.
Well, I thought it was cool that he had the green hair. I mean, we know, like, later on we figure out why he has green hair, but I thought it was cool how in the very beginning he has, like, a very unique kind of hairstyle.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, like, what other stuff did he work this season? Yeah.
That did work or did not work?
It did work. I want to say, like, start with positives. Like, if you want to continue your thought, it's leading to something good, too, so.
I like I like who they cast as Lucifer.
Yeah. I also liked Caliban. He was real cool.
I still like Lilith. Lilith's always my MVP of the show.
Lilith's really great. I think I actually liked Zelda's storyline this season and what kind of happened at the end. I thought she's always been very empowering, but now I think she's kind of become like the true level of like female empowerment at this point.
I always liked Hilda and her werewolf boyfriend.
Oh yes, he's cool.
Agreed. And she actually got some back this season.
What's the name of the town they live in?
God, I don't remember.
Greendale.
I kind of wish the show was called Greendale.
I don't want to say too much, but I think there was one, and I guess it's, I'm not necessarily, but I kind of like, I don't want to say too much, but the kind of carnival element, some of it still got kind of weird, but I kind of liked how they had this kind of interesting little area that kind of changed and morphed and moved, learned more and more about it. It became mysterious and started off, and then we kind of knew what it was at the end. And I kind of like.
I love those filthy pagans.
Yes, those pagans.
And I say that as a Catholic.
That was actually a very interesting twist in the plot, and I liked that they were, as the show progresses, they are bringing more elements of different
magic
pantheons into it. Yeah, like in this season, they had discussions about different kinds of magical powers and where they come from and the deities or belief systems that are inherent in those. They actually expounded on that knowledge set a lot more in the season, which I was a little disappointed with in previous seasons. In previous seasons, it was like, if you're a magic user, you pray to Satan, you sold your soul to him, and that's it. That's good night. And I'm like, there's so much more than that.
The talk of the Celestials, I was kind of waiting for the Winchesters to show up. But I really do enjoy that, the idea that there are older gods, newer gods. It's all type to me.
Yeah, I feel like that was a little bit to differentiate from the previous seasons, where they're like, you guys are offended by the hellish stuff. Well, screw you, it's all about hell. So it's like, okay, maybe a little leeway to something else. There is other kind of magic out there.
Yeah, I really like the voodoo. It kind of made me think of American Horror Story and this season 3, which I really loved, and it kind of added this really cool element to it, and it's complicated and kind of had this new kind of magic that was featured very heavily this season.
Her wardrobe was on point. Like, can I have every gown she wore the whole season, please? Thank you.
I'm curious to ask some people I know from a Facebook group how they felt about her accent, but besides that, I actually really enjoyed her.
I have the same call. that's the problem you get when you have that kind of character. And like Buffy, I had that kind of issue as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like you guys may not be fully in love with this season, too, just based on the hinting of that stuff. Like, what do you feel is maybe one of the weakest points other than the random musical numbers you're seeing?
All plot, no character development of any kind. Yeah. Like, this is very much a Star Wars Rise of Skywalker kind of situation.
Oh, no. That's bold claims.
Okay, it's not that bad. I think it was.
I mean, was there any character who really had a strong character development arc? I mean, no, Sabrina kind of went ahead and did what she wanted to do, didn't really have a point where she was challenged in her beliefs at all. She just did what she wanted to do or was told to go do what she wanted to do, so she did.
A lot of the characters have kind of, from season 1 and season 2, a lot of them have kind of had their arcs. Like, Theo is Theo now. Harvey is refusing to accept that he still has feelings for Sabrina and is trying really hard to make it work with this way better Vision girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rosalind.
I'm sorry.
Rosalind is her name. Okay. Yeah. Or Roz.
But yeah, that's her nickname, yeah. Maybe it's not so much that there was a lack of character development, it's that we kind of have these developed characters going to their actions. And I actually really enjoy that. It's just that there's something that happens in episode 7 and the beginning of episode 8 where it's going to be a lot of people, it's going to be like a take it or leave it moment.
Yeah, and I also think, though, that I think Jennifer has a point where there are some new characters who I don't think we learn. I mean, they seem very surfacey. Like, I don't want to say too much, but, like, Caliban. I mean, we have some details about him, but we don't really get to know him. He's just more of, like, a it kind of getting in the way of...
Or anything. Yeah, anything about his motivation.
Exactly.
That's just, what I mean. Like, he just
only,
is.
Yeah, he's just the like the foil for Sabrina, basically.
Ooh, and that's I don't like that we got less of the community. I felt we got a lot less of the coven, a lot less of the high school. So in that way, we did lose a lot of character development in that way.
And I'm not I said this before, but I'm not sure the ending and what that means for. I mean, I get over it and I'll watch a new season, but I'm kind of like nervous what they're going to do with it.
You're saying, Jennifer?
I don't know. There's so many things I could go on, but it feels like the first two seasons were actually, you know, seasons. They were developing a plot and developing stories and characters, and they were chunks where you discussed different elements of people's development. And then this season just felt like one long episode of this story that you're supposed to care about, but there was never a break from it. There's never development of any of the characters. It just goes for the sake of plot. And I don't think that the plot all day long should carry a story. You have to have development, or what the heck's the point? And it just, nobody really grew in this season. Everything just kind of happened.
And there were
a lot of times where a thing happened without, and you were like, oh, okay, I guess that's an answer to a problem that they didn't have to find. They just had it. Like the egg. Just like, we have this massive problem that nobody has ever come up with a solution for, but aha, I happen to have this magical item that's just been sitting on my shelf for five million years that I happen to solve this problem with, miraculously.
First
that
off, the egg bit has times. Been a treasured trope in all things ever since Yoshi was born. That's all I have to say.
I'm not mad about eggs in general. Just like, we have a problem. It's immediately solved with no effort whatsoever by a magical item laying around that anybody could have used at any time. Why is anything a problem if it's all solved very easily with no effort?
Now, I will say, I'm enjoying the whole 8 episodes thing. I've said it so many times before, but I'll stick with it. I am enjoying that these shows are 8 episodes now.
As opposed to longer or shorter?
As opposed to 6 to 13 episode seasons. Whenever like Netflix was dumping out all their shows 13 episodes long, that's when you got in the middle. You had what everybody would call that point where it kind of just drags.
Yeah, that.
Then when you have a show like Sabrina, yes, it actually it misses on character development. But as far as in a lot of ways, we are all just basically watching 8-hour movies, an 8-hour movie, and in that case, I'm okay with how all the plot elements fall together. Now, I wish it could have been done better. And I wish I don't wish we could have had more time, because I'm happy with what we had. But I do wish we could have focused on some more things than others.
I mean, I like 13 episodes. Like, I mean, I guess 8 episodes is fine with me as well. But I do think maybe 2 more episodes would have made it a little bit. Maybe there would have been more room. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Mm. So that seems to be the major complaint. I mean, were there any other points about, like, issues or praises kind of thing that you guys want to bring up? Or?
I just got to think to myself, like, man, if I was 16 years old, I would fucking love this show so much. Like, it is built for teenagers.
Are we too old for this show? Is that the thing?
Well, you guys are. I'm still liking that in-between, but you know.
I enjoy it. I don't know. But, you know, there's plenty.
It's for people like who are into magic, who are going through puberty, all kinds of horned up.
One element that kind of stuck out as a bit jarring to me was the disillusion of, or the dissolving of a relationship between two of the major characters, where one of them, and I'm not going to go into details because go watch it, one of them went through a very extreme trauma, and the other one just tries to go on like nothing happened. And this character has very obviously literally been through hell. And the other character should understand that at least in some way and be empathetic.
I would say by episode six, a little part of me was like, okay, okay.
I get that. And I don't agree with where it went. For sure. Like, you go through trauma, you deal with
it,
acting out
and being
stupid.
It's the person who offers. Here's what it is. It's the person who offers to give you a ride and then complains because they used all their gas doing it.
It's not even that. It's that there was an assumption that you went through this thing, but now you're back, so everything's going to be cool, and we're going to continue on just like we were when we left, with absolutely no attempt to figure it out, make sure that person's okay, give them time to heal, ask if they want some space, any kind of, are you cool, bro? But just, all right, we're going to go to the carnival together, and everything's going to be fine, and we're going to make out. And I'm like, man, you got that's some trauma that just happened. You got to give people time to go through that, and you have to make some sort of attempt at having empathy instead of just being all about yourself. And so that was a really disappointing point in this season for me.
Is it kind of like Arrow season one, where everyone gives Oliver grief for the fact, like, man, you're so different since you came back from the island? It's like, yeah, because I was on
for years. Well, my counter to that would be the thing I would have told him was, I didn't ask you to do that. That would have been my first counter, which is, nobody asked you to do this. You're supposed to be evil. Why do you keep trying to be the nice guy? Also, you're a witch. I know hell's going to be awful. I know Satan probably did a lot of terrible things to you. But at the same time, like, you're also a warlock. You pain is pleasure to you.
Oh, brother. Well, I mean, I guess since we're starting to go on to 20 minutes here, should we wind down to final thoughts unless anyone else has any other points to make?
I have a 20-minute speech ready if anybody wants to hear that.
No, thank you. Sorry.
Hard no.
Well then, Doggett, why don't you summarize that 20 minutes into a couple minutes to give your final thoughts?
I get minutes? Oh, shit.
Time starting now.
Yeah, there you go. Timing
you. Okay.
Okay.
Down to 1
okay.
minute and 55 seconds.
Let me channel my spirit animal, Marco. Marco. Polo.
1 minute and 40 seconds.
Man, look, when you watch the show, you know what you signed up for. Whenever you saw that first orgy scene in the first season, you're like, I think I know what I'm in for with this show. And for the most part, it's pretty much stuck of how it was. It's lost a few things. And hopefully the next season, it slows down and we get to spend more time with some characters before I assume some batshit cliffhanger makes you look forward for the next season. But as it is, I enjoy the show. I think I can recommend this pretty easily to, like, people I know would like it. It's an easy sell. Hail Satan. Come on. This is a 7 out of 10 blood sacrifices.
Okay. Jennifer.
As I said, I enjoyed the first season, mostly. I enjoyed more the second season. This season, just, I was looking forward to picking it up where it left off. I went in real excited about it, and it just, it didn't get there for me. I wanted more character development. I wanted things to make a little bit more sense. I want the... Like, I like a storyline that even if you can't figure out where it's going, you know it's going somewhere. And this just felt like every moment was kind of contrived and handed to you. And I wanted there to be more pushing of the characters, more impetus for them to get outside of their comfort zones and learn something. And they've stopped learning anything, and that makes me sad. Cinematography is real great. Costume design is thebomb.com. Like, I would wear everything that Sabrina wears in this show, with the exception of the cheerleader outfit. Well, maybe the very last thing you see her wearing in the last episode. That dress just didn't really do it for me. But the rest of it was just great. I wanted to have more of Lilith. Lilith had a really great character arc in the second season, and I liked where it was going, and then she just got there and then stopped. And then, like, all the wind went out of her sails, and I'm like, man, that was such a great character. What'd you do with her?
They turned her to Tyrion.
Yeah, really though. Ugh, they castrated her. Awful. And then, like, Lucifer was doing a thing and he was real mad and he was gonna come back and fight the world and all hell breaks loose, literally and metaphorically. And then things happen and he's just like, alright, I'm here now, bro. This is cool. Let my daughter run the world. This is fine. Like, it just doesn't feel right. Anyway, so I'm gonna give this 5.5 out of 10. Words are hard. Morning stars that crumble to dust in your hands.
The Dark Lord will be furious.
Apparently he's just going to stand there and take it, though. So, that's fine.
Well then, Paloma.
Okay, well, I overall enjoy Chilling Adventures of this. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I do think this season's a lot weaker than the other ones. I agree, Zennifer, that it's visually as good as it was the last two seasons, but there were some holes, I would say, in the plot and the character development. I still, love Sabrina Spellman, and I love the ants, and I think that, the characters were still as cool as ever, just that, you didn't really get to, they didn't really get any growth, as Jennifer said. I would say that, I might be a little bit nice, a little bit easier on it than you guys, but, I'd probably give it a, because I still, really love the concept and love a lot of parts of it, so I'm gonna give it 8 out of 10, Hail Lilith.
Nice.
Oh, sorry?
8 out of 10, Hail Lilith.
Oh, Hail Lilith. There
she is. Can't even say, Paloma, you will have a seat right next to the Dark Lord. That's right next to the lobster table.
Oh. Well, she's kind of the queen for a couple of minutes in the first season. A little bit. I mean, this season. A little bit in this season.
I was disappointed that the devil didn't go as hard this season as he went last season, because he was a motherfucker.
I think he was better when he was more mysterious, when you didn't see his face, and he was kind of like, you just heard him and saw like the goat thing and stuff like that.
Man, he fed someone to someone.
Well, sounds like this season was a little bit of a hell of a disappointment then, huh?
Yeah.
Hell, puns.
I'm just shaking my head sadly here, too.
He loves his puns. That's true.
That makes me want to open a nice Necronomicon and chant.